Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Welcome to Second Mile Church this morning. We're going to do something a little bit different today, and it's everybody needs to understand about leadership in the church. And in a church like ours, we believe that there's two offices in the church where some guys serve as pastor and deacons. And we're going to talk about that in the message this morning. But we also had a deacon meeting early at 7 this morning. We ordained a new man to the deacon ministry, and we've got two other guys coming on board this year. We've got three guys rotating off. Our deacons serve for 3 years, and then they take a year off, and then they get nominated and reelected back onto the deacon body. So that's kind of the way we do things here. I want to read some scripture first to you, and then I'm going to ask for our ordained men to come on up front. This is out of Acts chapter 6. Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. How many of you know sometimes there's problems in the church? Somebody gets their feelings hurt. Somebody wearing their feelings on their sleeve. Somebody gets tore up about something. And the next thing you know, there's a problem. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation." There's the first one. Good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Listen to this. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were even obedient to the faith. The deacon ministry in every church is very, very important. These men are called out for a specific assignment to serve the needs of the church. Pastors lead the church, deacons serve the church. And when the two work together, the church multiplies. I said, multiplies. And so that's what happens when deacons and pastoral ministry are working together. And so I'm looking at seats. If all of our ordained men would just come forward with your wives. All, A-L-L, y'all, come on. If all of our ordained men and that your wives would come forward. I just want y'all to see who our deacons that have served this church over the last 7 years are. Y'all might need to slide down some here. Yeah, look here. That's the Bible word for behold. Y'all, isn't this wonderful? These are the men and women Hallelujah. These are the men and women that have served our church and in different ministry roles. And I want to tell you, the wives are just as important as the husbands in this deal. A wife can be your greatest asset or your greatest downfall. And these women here are wonderful. They support their husbands. They love the church. And they're just as involved in the deacon ministry as our deacons are. So I'm sorry, y'all. I didn't want to embarrass all of y'all, but I want everybody to see you all and know who you are. Now, we have 9 serving every year, okay? And we have a rotation system and 3 rotate off every year after they've served 3 years. And then 3 new ones come on board. And so I want to recognize, first of all, If you're not active right now, y'all can go grab a seat, and then you can come back up a little bit later and pray over the new guys that are coming on board. want to recognize three who are rotating off. Where is Mike and Donna Rainey? Right here. Mike and Donna have served for 3 years, and Mike is one of our former chairman of deacons, and Donna keeps Mike in line. So we're just thrilled to have you all. They're rotating off of you. Would you give them a great hand? Dick Littleton is our chairman of deacons for the second year in a row, and he's got certificates of appreciation, and that's, we ought to do far more than that, but that's at least something we want you all to know that we appreciate you. Where is Kyle? There's Kyle right here. Kyle, you got Ashley? She's next door serving. By the way, we need some children's workers desperately. Amen. Nursery workers, children's workers. If you could just do that once a month or once every, just whatever, get in touch with Lauren. Kyle, we appreciate you and Ashley. Kyle, we appreciate you and Ashley. They have they've served faithfully, and it's been a tough time for, you know, Kyle. We've had, anyways, I don't want to get off into that, but he's had some tough things happen in his family the last couple of years, and yet he has stayed faithful with the stuff. And he's one of our fine young deacons. How many of you know we need young deacons too? All right. And then the third man that's, he and his wife are rotating off. Where is Adams in the sound room? Can you come out here, you big, tall drink of water? All right. and by the way, all of these couples are serving in different ministries, and they're already serving long before they ever got to be deacons. And so Adam and Nikki, we highly appreciate you all. Thank you for everything. Adam's back here in the sound room this morning serving. And of course, Nikki's up here on the praise and worship team. And just wanted you all to know how much we love and appreciate you all. And okay. Now, we've got three new guys coming on board, okay, with their wives. And these three are rotating. We're going to give y'all a year off. Say amen, Mike. We're going to give y'all a year off, and then if they get reelected, renominated, or whatever, they'll come back on board to serve another 3 years. But if a man is serving and doing everything that he's supposed to do, he's ready to take a year off. Our guys are busy, man. They're working and doing whatever the church needs. Now, we have one new man and his wife coming on board with us, and they weren't able to be here this morning. They had a family deal scheduled for this weekend and this next week, and so they couldn't be with us. But Roy Gregory and his wife Barbara, have y'all got the slides for that? Adam does. All right. What we've done is we've asked all these three new guys that are coming on board what about their favorite scriptures, and there's what they feel like that maybe their spiritual gift is. But Coach, I was at First Baptist for 13 months, and he was our chairman of deacons while we were there. And Coach and I go way back, and he is a servant. He loves the Lord, and he and Barbara are going to be a great addition. He was chairman of deacons at First Baptist, so he knows what deacon ministry is all about. And yeah, he told me that Wednesday night. John 3:16 is Coach Gregory's favorite verse. Anybody in here? Anybody else in here like John 3:16? Amen. So he and Barbara will be back with us, and Dick's going to make sure that they get on a ministry team. All of our deacons serve on different ministry teams that they feel like that the church needs. And so wanted you all to know that Roy and Barbara are coming on board with us. And and then we've got another couple coming back on after they have served after a year off is Bubba and Debbie Osborne. Where are they? All right. John 4. John seems to be a familiar book. This is Bubba's favorite. John 14:6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, nada, no one comes to the Father except by me. And so, and I believe Bubba, and pretty sure about this, I believe his spiritual gift is the gift of service. I mean, this fella here does just about everything that he's asked to do. And he's going to have to do like his pastor. He's going to have to learn how to say every now and then the word no. You know, because he can get over-programmed in a heartbeat. And that's why he's got Debbie on board with him. So, and this is a wonderful couple. They both, all of them, but they're both already serving in different capacities in our church. And I just thank God for the Osbournes. They're a wonderful, wonderful couple. And the star of our, y'all come on up here right here in the center. Yeah, Greg, you come down this way. Y'all sit, right, step right down there. Thank you. This is Sam and Alex Postel. And and we, in our ordination council in the back this morning, we ordained Sam to the deacon ministry. He's never been ordained, and he needed to be in order to serve. And all ordination means is that we support, and we are with this man in the ministry of deacon of serving as a deacon. We agree with him. He's proven himself. And you know, Alex is kind of like Bubba. She's gonna have to learn how to say no as well. But these two are already serving the church, and he shared his salvation experience with us. And I didn't even know his dad was a pastor for years. And isn't that wonderful? I think that's wonderful. And I asked him, you know, what was it that led you to Second Mile Church? And he shared that with us and how he was looking forward to the deacon ministry. And they love the Lord, and they're going to be great additions to our deacon ministry, and they're going to be serving for 3 years with us. And we've got a nice certificate for Sam and Alex. We're just so proud of you all. I remember when y'all showed up here. It's been almost 5 years ago, and they've got two Cracker Jack kids now. In-laws and outlaws. Are they any of them here? Sonia and them here? Where are they? Right over here. These are Alex's parents over here. And his folks are in Georgia watching online. Isn't that special? Yeah. And so I read to you out of Acts chapter 6 what those first deacons, who they were and what kind of men they were. And the church, the apostles, asked them after they were chosen, they laid hands on them and prayed over them. Now, I want to say this. These men and women are already gifted to serve. We can't give them what they need to serve because they've already got it. Amen. And so when we lay hands on them, we're not saying, we're imparting any kind of special gift to you, because I believe the Holy Spirit's already given it to them. All we're going to be doing here by laying hands and praying over them is just lifting them up and letting everybody know we support these men. And we're just grateful for what God's going to do and how he's going to use them. And so that's what I'd like to do in this closing installation service. Dick, is there anything you want to say, brother?
This is a great group of men. I'm just proud to serve with them.
Amen. Dick brought something really important to my mind last week. He said, you know, Cal, we've got a great mix of experienced deacons, and we got a great mix of younger deacons coming on board, and you need both, because the older guys are experienced with wisdom, and the younger guys have energy and passion. And so we work together, amen? And so, Bubba, you and Debbie come over here beside Alex, would y'all? We want to pray, all of us want to pray over y'all. Yes. I'm just grateful. I don't know if you've been to any other churches, but churches are famous for getting in a fuss and getting in a fight and arguing and being mean to one another. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And I'm online here, and I hope y'all that are listening are hear me well. We don't have any of that going on here. That nobody here has some big agenda. Jesus is the head of this church. And he's the one who... And the primary reason for that is, listen to me now, is our deacon ministry. They handle any problems that come up. They're serving the needs of the church. They're there for people. They're doing all kinds of ministry. And if there is an issue, they'll bring it up and they'll take care of it. I mean, that's who these men and women are. And so I thank God for a church that's in unity and got great harmony. And it's because that we're following God's word and doing it his way. All right? So if you four, Debbie and Bubba, Alex and Sam, y'all just kind of turn around and kneel down on the altar. We want to get in behind them, y'all, and lay hands on them, not to choke them or anything like that. But we want to pray over all these folks. Dick Littleton, lead our prayer, would you?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we lift these two couples up to you today.
Yes.
And the Gregories here. Father, we pray for guidance. We pray for your wisdom. Give us energy. We pray that you will use the Postels, and the Osbournes, and the Gregories.
Yes, Father.
For your glory. This year, that Jesus might be honored, that your gospel might be spread, and that more people would come to know Jesus as Savior in everything that we do. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you all. Father, thank you again for the way you do things. We love you. I pray now that we'd put a smile on you through the rest of this service. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen.
Amen. As we commission these deacons, we're reminded that our calling is not carried through our own strength, but through Christ in us. Amen.
Let's bow our heads together. Father, thank you so much for bringing us together today, for the opportunity to worship you freely. And we just thank you for every man and his wife that stood on this stage today, and we thank you for what they mean to our church. And I just pray that you would open our hearts as Pastor Cal brings the word, and just let your spirit flow through this place this morning. We pray it through Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Y'all welcome our Adult and Teen Challenge guys back to the church today. We're glad to have you guys, as always. Thank you for coming. Did y'all get any donuts? No.
Our breakfast was pretty good this morning.
Amen.
Donuts sound good.
Well, y'all missed out. There was a bunch of them back there, so they're probably already gone. So, anyways, Lord, help me to stay focused this morning. I felt like you know, we had the installation service. I needed to preach on leadership in the church today. And there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of controversy. There's a lot of junk out there about just exactly who are the leaders in the church. What should the leaders be doing? What should what does that look like in every church? And so I'm going to preach on that this morning, if that'd be all right. And even if it's not all right, that's what we're going to preach on. And so we're going to find ourselves in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And by the way, the characteristics and qualities of a deacon are pretty much the same thing as they are for pastors. And this is a high calling for a high office. But I'm going to tell you what, we're just servants of the Lord. I wake up surprised every morning that God wants to use folks like me. And that's the way most of our deacons feel too, I think. So if you've got any questions about that, hopefully we'll get some answers today for you. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I want to honor God's word by standing, if we could do that one more time. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives, hello? Their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Man, we've said a mouthful already. David Fry, ask God to bless the word today, would you?
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for being in your house this morning, God. It is a privilege to serve Jesus. We just ask you to be with each and every one, Lord. I receive your blessing in your house this morning. Lord, I receive the word of God, Lord, and I tell it to others. We just do that to God, Lord, if you possess the word this morning, the Holy Spirit, like I said, the Lord.
Yes, Father. Amen. You may be seated if you can. I know some of you, quite a few of you, are not ever going to serve as a deacon, but you need to have an understanding of just exactly what the leadership looks like in the church. This is a teaching sermon, a doctrinal sermon, if you will, and everybody needs to be on the same page when it comes to leadership in God's family. Amen?
Amen?
And so, first of all, a deacon needs to be respectable. A deacon ought to be respectable. Say that word with me, respectable. And there's four areas he covers here in verse 8 that have to do with respectability. And first of all, he says that a deacon should be reverent. He should be reverent. What does that word mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. It means he's honest. He's worth imitating. Deacons should not only have the respect of believers, but they also are held in high esteem outside the church by non-believers. They are respectable. They're filled with fidelity and stability and integrity, and their character is respected by all. Now, let me just stop and say this right here. Deacons are not perfect, and neither are pastors. We make mistakes and sometimes do some things that shouldn't have been done. But overall, these are men and women who have garnered great respect by the way they live their lives. Amen. Hello? And so that's one area of respectability. The other one, he says he should not be double-tongued. A deacon is not ever, and his wife should never go house to house spreading gossip or getting on the phone. Or doing this. Hey, did you hear about, a lot of folks will do this. Did you hear about so-and-so? We really do need to pray for them. And they're one I want you to pray. They're wanting to gossip, you know. And so that is not the kind of man that you want serving as one of your deacons. His talk doesn't stir up strife and division. It brings people together. We can depend on what he and his wife say. And then third, a deacon is not given to much wine. Not given to much wine. And in our day, because of the distilling process back in the, the 5th or 6th century, the wine we're drinking today is quite a bit stronger than what they were drinking in Jesus' day. Now, I'm not here to, you know, to be a professor or a possessor about alcohol and all that stuff, but I am here to tell you, in my opinion, the church has got enough problems without their men out in the public consuming alcohol everywhere and every day. I don't think you're going to go to hell if you have a beer or a glass of wine. I don't believe that. But we need to be respectable in that area. And I want to tell you, if you don't understand the evils of alcohol, ask these brothers right here. Amen. They can tell you it's the drug of choice that the devil's got out there for everybody. Right? Now, I'm just saying we need to be responsible and respectable in that area, okay? I'm not here to promote, abstaining and all this other stuff. But what you need to do is settle in your own heart. What is it that God's calling you to do? We're to live our lives above reproach. We're to even flee the appearance of evil. And then fourth area of responsibility, did you see that? Not greedy for money. Oh. You know, I've been in some churches that, and I'm not being mean here, I'm just being truthful, but their deacons are the greatest businessmen in town. Can I just say this? A deacon ought to be free from the love of money. Doesn't mean that he can't run a business, because he can. But he's not greedy. In other words, he's more interested in the master than making money. Amen. All right? And there's nothing wrong with money. Would y'all rather be broke, busted, and disgusted? There's nothing wrong with having money. But don't let money use you. Does that make sense? And so I think that's what he's saying here is, and by the way, I believe a deacon and his wife ought to put their money where their mouth is. They ought to be givers, moving towards tithers if they're not already. And the man who serve the church ought to support the church financially. And so you don't want somebody who's greedy. And so those are four areas of respectability. Now, secondly, I believe the scriptures says that a deacon really needs to be scriptural. Respectable and scriptural. Look at verse 9 again. Holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. Now, when Mike Rainey and I were ordained as deacons together, this was the question the pastor asked me in front of the whole congregation. Now, what would you say the mystery of the faith is? And so I don't do that with our new deacons, okay? We make sure that they're men and women of the Word and that kind of thing. But I think the mystery of the faith, the word mystery, listen to me, is a truth that was once hidden but now has been revealed by the Holy Spirit. And so basically what we're talking about here is a deacon and his wife ought to be doctrinally sound. They don't have to have all the answers in the Scriptures, but they ought to be men and women of truth. Say amen. He should understand Christian doctrine and obey it. With a good conscience. He's not a doubter. And by the way, there are some church members that know their bylaws better than they know their Bible. God help us. You know, the early church, their constitution and bylaws was the Scriptures. And we need to focus on that. A deacon who doesn't know the Word of God and doesn't study the Word of God and try to apply the Word of God doesn't need to be serving the church. Are y'all with me so far? Amen. Now, you don't get to thinking that, you know, this guy's got to be perfect. Oh, no. But he's got to be humble. And he's got to be willing to be obedient to whatever the Spirit of God's calling him or her to do. And so deacons ought to be respectable. Secondly, they ought to be scriptural. And then third, they ought to be responsible. Look at verse 10. But let these also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Now, the word blameless there, y'all, doesn't mean perfect. It means their heart is set on doing what's right. Okay? And so a deacon ought to be responsible. He says they ought to be tested. They ought to be like a Ford truck. Some of you Chevrolet, GMC guys, you know, you don't even know what I'm talking about here, do you? All right. A deacon ought to be tested. And you know what? You don't call somebody to be a deacon after they just got saved. Or even when you got a brand new church member. These men and women need to be tested over time. Not just weeks, not just months, maybe even years. Sam and Alex have been in the church almost 5 years, and they have proven themselves to be faithful. They've proven themselves to be responsible. Do they make mistakes? Absolutely, just like I do. But overall, they are responsible believers. And so you don't just bring people on board in these two offices of pastor and deacon who you don't even know anything about much. But we're good at doing that, especially if they're, you know, big business folks in the community. That's not what the characteristics and qualities ought to look like. And so a person who has proven himself over time has served already, and maybe in a Sunday school capacity, maybe out on the parking lot as an usher or a greeter, or maybe, you know what blesses me? I've had deacons serve in the nursery. Some of my deacons are looking at me, oh, he's not going to ask me to do that, is he? But they ought to be serving already, see, in different capacities. Deacons, you know, I just can't wait until we get our first deacon up here on the praise team. We've got one already. I know we need another one. Amen, Daniel? That was too quiet. Amen, Daniel? Amen. So, you know, our men are serving in all different kinds of ways, and every one of them, and you know, are just proven workers and servers in the church. And by the way, Dan, I'm so thankful for you, brother. I am. And y'all notice what he does every Sunday? He does something for his pastor y'all don't even recognize. He grabs his pulpit and drags it all the way over here so my old lame body doesn't have to pull it over here. You know, that's what deacons do. They're just willing to serve and do whatever needs to be done. They're responsible. Hallelujah. And so, and you think about these leaders in the Bible, men like Joseph and Moses and Joshua and David and Paul, they all had proven themselves before they took leadership roles. And that's the way it works in the church. Everybody okay? Everybody all right? Okay. Now, here's the one Ellen contacted me about. She didn't get this. But after I explained it to her, then she got it. A deacon ought to be nuptial. She said, what do you mean by that, Brother Cal? Why has a deacon got to be nuptial? What is that all about? I said, Ellen, I just needed another AL word. Respectable, scriptural, responsible, and now nuptial. What do you mean by that? Look at verse 11. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Several of our deacons are involved in what we might call family ministry. And a man who is really good at helping manage the affairs of the church and the ministries of the church is already proven himself at home. And a deacon and his wife believe in a biblical marriage. They support marriage between one man and one woman. I hope my online folks got that. One man for one woman, right? And so that's what I mean by being nuptial. And by the way, when you're looking at a man, now, does that mean a minister can't be single? Paul was single. Jesus was single. And by the way, he didn't have any girlfriends named Mary Magdalene either. That garbage on television and PBS. Anyways, I don't need to get off on that. But somebody who is already working on family relationships in their home has a better understanding sometimes of what needs to take place in the church family. Can I get a witness on that? And so, and then you need to take a strong look at their wives. When looking at a deacon, you got to take a good look at their wives. The women ought to be saved. Hello? I think your pastor ought to be saved. Yeah, yeah. They're to be serving the church just like their husbands do. And I said it earlier, a deacon's wife can be his greatest asset or his greatest downfall. They're not to be gossips or finding fault with others. They're not to be looking down their noses with a critical, judgmental attitude. They're to be trustworthy and reliable. They're to be building folks up just like they do at home with their husbands. A deacon's wife, and by the way, our deacon wives understand who wears the pants. I've made half the people in here mad and upset already. But brothers and sisters, when Adam and Eve sinned, who did God go looking for? That's right. And so it is ordained in Scripture over and over and over again that the man ought to be the spiritual leader in the home. And so, girls, his pants don't fit you. My goodness, I'll get all kinds of emails and letters and texts this week. And so that's what I mean. A deacon's wife ought to be trustworthy. She's there to support and be everything that she needs to be for her husband. And she's got her own ministry to do in the church as well. But take a good look at that wife before you ask a man to serve in that area. Amen? And so a deacon ought to be faithful. Look at verse 12. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own houses well. Now, this is the verse that's caused more folks to break out in hives than any other. It's brought a lot of controversy in the church. This issue of, you know, of divorce and all that. Can I just go on record and tell you, divorce is not the unpardonable sin. God can use anybody and wants to use everybody. He does. And to me, you know, this is what a lot of churches do. They'll pick this one verse out and forget about all the rest of it. Well, he's been married before. You understand what I'm saying? I had a chairman of deacons ask me this question one time. By the way, y'all, your pastor's kind of come full circle on this as well. Okay? With years, you get more wisdom. But one of my chairman of deacons down in Waynesboro, Tennessee, we were getting ready to nominate and elect deacons and everything, and he said, Cal, I need somebody to answer a question for me. And I said, well, what is it? He said, you know, I can go out here and kill somebody graveyard dead. I can go out here and get drunk as Cootie Brown and kill somebody in a homicide. And he said, I can still serve as a deacon. But if my wife runs off and leaves me, I can't serve. Why is that? Well, here's the big deal for me. A man and a woman have been tested. And they prove it. Dick Littleton has proven himself, and so has Kathy. Over time. Over time. They've been tested. Now, I debated about bringing this up, but we've had several men that we've asked to serve in this capacity, and for whatever reason, they feel beat down and just said, I'm not qualified. What do you mean you're not qualified? Are you in a good marriage? Are you still serving the Lord? Yeah. How long have you been married? Oh, we've been married for 30 years. I said, 30 years? Does that not prove that you have been found faithful? Because bless God, I remember when I was 23 or 24, Caleb's light years ahead of where I was when I was his age. Amen? Now, I'm not going to sit in judgment on anybody or anyone who goes the other direction with this, but that's something, don't just pull that one out of the hat and forget all the rest of them. Okay? All right, enough said there. I know this is going to be controversial. I just can't wait to hear my phone go off this week. Learn from your previous mistakes. We've all made them. Learn from your previous mistakes. And by the way, some of the finest folks in Second Mile Church are in their second marriage. I better not go there. Anyways, somebody was telling me, what about 3 or 4 times? Anyways, you know, laughter helps, doesn't it? Doesn't humor help? Some of y'all are mad as wet hens already. My goodness. And then lastly, a deacon ought to be usable. Ought to be usable. Look at the last verse here. This is powerful. Guys, girls, listen to this. For those of you that are serving, for those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith. What a promise for deacons that serve well, which is in Christ Jesus. A deacon doesn't just fill the office, he uses the office for God's glory. And when a man and his wife are faithful and usable, God will promote him spiritually and give him more and more respect among the saints, which means a greater opportunity for ministry. And by the way, two of the men, that the first seven in Acts chapter 6 that were chosen, Philip went on to be a great evangelist and a great preacher. Stephen became a great expositor of the faith. And he was so sharp scripturally, man, the enemy had to get rid of him. And so, and then those other deacons in Acts chapter 6, you don't hear much, but they're all Greek speaking, which tells me they all chose Greek men and women to serve in the church. Great wisdom from the church. And by the way, those are kind of household names. You don't hear much from them. But can I just tell you, when deacons serve well, they're not strutting around like peacocks. They're humble. And all of our men and women are humble. Every one of them. And they're using the office well. And when they do use the office in the way that it ought to be used. And by the way, Hebrews 13, which we'll get to later on in the year, talks about pastors leading well. Pastors lead the flock and deacons serve the flock. And when they work together, hallelujah, the church multiplies. And I used to be a deacon. And then God called me into the ministry. There's a lot of guys that's happened that way too. And I'm so thankful for the two offices of the church. And when they're done the right way and used in the right manner, hallelujah. You know, bless God, the clock isn't on back there on the screen. Hallelujah. And so, that's about all the honey I can get out of this Bible beehive this morning. But I thank God for men and women who are willing to step up and serve. None of us are worthy. None of us feel like we're the big dog on the block. Oh, no, 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 no. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. If God will use me, he'll use anybody. I'm the poster child for this. I look back and I remember when our home church ordained me and Mike and Dick and O'Brien Walker and just a lot of great guys. And some of them are here. And I'm so thankful for the witness of faithful men and women who have been tested and tried and proven worthy of service. Father, I don't know what in the world you want to do with this message today, but God, it ought to speak to all of us. Every single one of us have something that you want us to do. It may not be as deacon or a pastor, but it may be in some other area. We're all required to be obedient. And so, God, I pray that somehow, some way, that you would get through to each and every person sitting in these chairs today, that you have something for all of us to do. And so I pray, Father, that whether it be salvation, whether it be sanctification, growing in godliness, or maybe it's just an issue of obedience, God, that you would mark us out and set us out and call us out. We're the called out ones. And help us to just follow you until you come to get us. The events of this week remind me that all of us are on limited time. We've only got so many days. And we have this life to follow Jesus. Help us to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your salvation. In your name we pray. Amen. Here at Second Mile Church, we have an invitation time. We have a response time. Anytime you hear, sing, read the Word of God, there's a response that's required on our behalf. And if God's spoken to you about any issue, I don't care what it is, to some servant in some kind of ministry, forgiving someone, salvation, you're not sure if you're saved or not, or you just need to be obedient to some call on your life, we're going to ask you to just stand up and come. We're going to sing, and as we sing, we're just ask you to fill this altar up. Our prayer room back here is always open. If you just need somebody to pray with you, or you really need some counseling, man, we're ready for you right here. We're expecting people to make decisions here. Father, touch us this time. One more time today. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Help us all to respond in obedience. Don't just let us stand here, God, under conviction. Help us to take that step towards you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together. Brother Andrew's going to lead us. You come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.